So I invite you now, if you choose, to close your eyes, get comfortable in your seat. Take a deep breath or two, allowing ourselves to become centered here, where we are, allowing body, mind, and spirit to be all together as they are meant to be, recognizing that there is a presence in us, in each of us, the same one spirit, and we all know what it is, we all recognize it, we all feel it, even though we may call it by different names or not call it by any name at all. It is the spirit of life, and it is everywhere present, not just inside each of us, but we are in it. We are all together within this one power, this one presence. And as we recognize this truth, the more we become aware of the spiritual presence within us, the more spiritual our life becomes. We realize here that the spiritual and the physical are one, that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and that we have come into this experience. We know not where from, but we know that our consciousness existed as part of the one consciousness before we came, and we know that when we leave this place, this plane of existence, that life continues. We recognize that our time here is very precious, and there are a few things for us to learn. To learn to love, to learn to be present, to practice kindness and compassion, to learn how to create, and to learn how to enjoy this experience. So anything in our life that does not fit with those lessons, we release. We let go of any conflict. We let go of any anger or fear, blame or guilt. None of these things serve us, and none of them are a part of our spiritual essence. We are created in this experience as loving, conscious, caring, compassionate, whole, complete, and perfect beings. That is what we were on the day we were born, and it is true about us for every single moment of our life. When we forget it, our experience changes, but whenever we choose to remember it, our experience becomes a spiritual experience, and the physical limitations and concerns that we have fall away. This is the power that we have. This is who we are and what we are. And we are deeply grateful for this awareness. We're grateful for the presence of spirit in our life all the time in everything we do. We are simply grateful. And as we recognize this and accept it for ourselves completely in this moment, it remains with us as long as we are open to it. This is our truth. We accept it, we honor it, and we release it into consciousness, knowing it is so for us and every other person now and always. And so it is. That's a great song for celebrating this month, where we celebrate the holiday in honor of Dr. King also. So thank you, Bernardine, very much. For quite a number of years, actually, this would be the 29th January for this center. This has been the month when we go back and take a fresh look at the basic principles of this teaching called religious science or science of mind. The names are really interchangeable. This is a philosophy based on the writings of a man by the name of Dr. Ernest Holmes, who lived and wrote and taught mostly during the first half of the last century. He started writing in the 1920s, and he made his transition in 1960. Now, Dr. Holmes was a very interesting man because he did not claim to be a prophet or a guru of any sort, and his goal was not to bring to the world some grand spiritual revelation that no one had thought of before and tag his name onto it. Instead, Dr. Holmes was a spiritual thinker. And I love that because I think about what Emerson said, beware when the great God lets loose a thinker upon the planet, for then all things are at risk. And that's very true when it comes to religion. So Dr. Holmes pointed out that there have been plenty of very wonderful spiritual teachers around for centuries, some of them well-known, some of them not, and they've all been telling us the same things. They've all been telling us that we should love each other and treat all other people with respect. They've all been telling us to love ourselves, we miss that one, and treat ourselves with respect. And they've all been telling us that we should enjoy life and not judge other people and live by the wisdom of our own mind and our heart that we are aware of from the spirit within. So all the other stuff that comes with religion, all the stories and the commandments and the rules, all the bells and the smells and the costumes and that stuff have absolutely nothing to do with God. He said that the only thing that's really important is our actual relationship with this invisible spiritual power that lies behind and around all that we see all around us. In other words, he was asking, how can we combine the physical with the spiritual in an intelligent, understandable, even scientific way that brings forth the best of what we can be individually and as a race? And by that I mean a race of beings, not all these other races we talk about. Because if we could only get that one part down, we would be able to create for ourselves a heaven on earth and not worry so much about what heaven looked like after we die. Now that's why I love talking about the basics. I love this month, and I always do it in a different way. In fact, what I love the most about this teaching has always been its clarity and its simplicity. That's what spirituality ought to be in our life and what religion almost never is. You know, once we get our own stuff out of the way, our relationship with our higher power, whatever that happens to look like, should be extremely straightforward. But sometimes the simplest explanations can be the most difficult to understand, especially if we've never thought that deeply about spiritual things this way before, if we just live spiritually the way that we were taught. I know in my case, it took me a number of years to realize that what I was working with here in this teaching was a philosophy of life that may be extremely simple, but it is also incredibly profound. In fact, I have found that as I open up to these ideas that Dr. Holmes talked about more and more every year, that they actually open up to me even more in ways that I could never imagine before. It's like Dr. Robert Goddard, the great space pioneer from the 40s, once said, he said, it's difficult to say what is impossible, for the dream of yesterday is the hope of today and the reality of tomorrow. So I wasn't sure where I was going or where I'd been, but I knew where I wanted to be, which is an important thing. Even today, every so often, as much as I've studied this teaching, I keep running into some limited belief that I've been holding on to for years. And who knows where it came from. I usually blame it on my mother, but, you know, whatever. She's getting tired of that, so I'm getting away from that. And as I use what I learn from this way of thinking to change my old beliefs, to alter the belief, to go beyond it, to go beyond that self-imposed artificial limitation that I have accepted, because that's what all our limitations are, as I do that, I find that my life starts to expand easily and effortlessly. The world around me starts to open and unfold right before my eyes. And that's the thing that's kept me interested all these years in this teaching. That's what keeps me coming back. Now, as we go through this series of four talks this year, whether you're new here this year or whether you've been in this teaching for years, I'm going to make you a promise. And here's the promise. If you decide, and the choice is entirely up to you, to commit to a reasonable amount of time and effort into not only being exposed to this teaching, but learning it, understanding it, and using it, practicing it in your daily life from here on out, you will start to see your life change dramatically for the better. It really will. I promise that. Even if your life is actually pretty good already, you'll start to find that your energy and your passion for life are greater than you've ever known. You'll find that your relationships become deeper and richer and more rewarding, or maybe some of your relationships disappear. Sometimes that's what growth looks like. You'll find that you are no longer limited to a certain level of success or a certain level of prosperity by anyone else's idea of what you are worth or what you can do. And in the process of doing this, you will start to become convinced that life is not a task to be endured or a struggle to be overcome, but a marvelous journey to be enjoyed. That's one of the many things that Chris taught us with her life. I have seen this happen time and time again. For years, I have seen people use the things that they learned here in this teaching to change their life for the better. I have seen medical conditions healed or at least greatly improved. I have seen marriages and relationships that were completely on the rocks become strong and loving again. I've seen people create wonderful relationships. I've seen people become wealthy. I've seen people find their dream job, their dream house, their dream boyfriend or girlfriend, or just the life of their dreams. I have seen all these things happen more times than I can count. So I guess what I'm saying is, I don't believe in this teaching because it's interesting and powerful, even though it is both of these things. I believe in it because it works. Because it works. I've seen it in my life, and I've seen it in the lives of other people who have used it. Now, it's not the only thing that works. I don't stand up and say, this is the one right answer. There are people who are growing and expanding their lives, studying Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, or studying absolutely nothing at all. But I know that this is something that works for people who have a certain mindset, people who are looking for something that is understandable and explainable, where they can practice their faith with things that work, with things that work. Now, once we begin using these principles, we start to find that our question is, how do I get started? How do I get started, even if you've been coming here for a while? And the good news is we can all start right from where we are. In fact, that's the only place that we can start. We don't have to be any better than we are because we're as good as we need to be. We don't have to be any smarter than we are. We may need to start acting a little smarter, but we don't have to be any smarter. And we don't have to do anything else first. We don't have to get baptized. We don't have to get saved. We don't have to say any special prayer. All we need to do is to be willing to open our mind to a greater possibility and a better way of thinking and a better way of living. That's all we have to do, is to open ourselves up. So once we start using these principles, we'll find that we can move to a higher level of living and being as long as we continue to keep our heart and our mind focused on a greater idea of God, a greater truth about ourselves, and a greater belief in our own ability to co-create with a God a life that brings us all the things that we desire. Now, my talk this morning is called A Better Kind of God. And in the next few weeks, I'm going to be discussing seeing the God in us, seeing God in the world, and the living spirit of life. These are the four basic principles that Dr. Holmes used to explain his philosophy, and they're located in the introduction of the book he wrote called The Science of Mind, where the titles of those chapters are The Thing Itself, The Way It Works, What It Does, and How to Use It. Now, this is only 36 pages in the introduction, very, very short. But for me, the first time that I read it, it was actually transformational. It was the most significant material on spirituality that I had ever read, and I had read a lot of stuff because I was searching for something that worked. But I have to admit, I'll just say this up front, that I did not jump right into this teaching. Before I bought the book, I came here for a little while. I'd go out to the bookstore and sort of thumb through it now and then. It looked a little interesting, but I already had a lot to read on spirituality. It's also a very big book to put in a suitcase, and I was traveling a lot, so I didn't want to carry it with me. Isn't it great, all the excuses you can come up with when, you know, you don't really want to do something? Anyway, I continued to come here about two or three Sundays a month, and I picked up some good information, but I didn't do any extra reading about it because the Sunday talks were feeding me. I enjoyed them and learned a few things. Anyway, when I decided to start classes after about 2 years of coming here, I went ahead and bought the book. So I sat down one evening, a little glass of wine. I was doing that back then, you know, I thought it helped. Anyway, I put it down and I started to read this introductory section, and after the first 8 or 10 pages, I remember feeling like my head was about to explode. I did. And that's what got me excited. You see, this individual, this philosopher, this modern-day mystic, by the name of Ernest Holmes, was talking about God in a way that made perfect sense to me. In fact, it made far more sense than anything that anyone had ever told me about God before. It wasn't that he was talking about a God that was all good and all loving and all powerful. I'd heard all that stuff back in my Catholic upbringing. I'm not sure I believed it, but I had heard it many different times before. It was more than that. He was talking about God, this power, as a perfect creative intelligence, as a power for good and only good, as a source of life that never withheld anything from anyone ever. So it was not a conditional God. He said it never judged us, it never got angry with us, and it gave us nothing but the very best of itself all the time. And it did this for every person on the planet equally, no matter what religion they belong to, if any. He also expressed his belief that this power is not a person or a being of any kind. It is what we might call a universal life force. And it's everywhere present all the time, which means it's here for us to use whenever we want, and it doesn't even mind being used. In fact, he said that this power was meant to be used instead of worshipped. That was different for me. I never heard that in catechism from the nuns, I will tell you that. They never told me that. Finally, he said that this creator was one with its creation, meaning you and me and the world and everything. And all of this stuff blew me away. It blew me away. Now, as soon as I read just that much, just that first section, I was hooked. Not because I had learned something brand new and interesting, but because I was reading something that I had always believed right here in my heart of hearts. I just never had the words to describe it or the terminology to explain it. And I also didn't realize there was a place that talked about God and Spirit in this way every Sunday. But I knew there was something in here that I needed to get in touch with at a greater level. That's what I realized. And I've heard a lot of people who come in here say the same thing. You know, in a way, we're all like that little girl in school in the third grade class whose teacher told them to draw a picture of somebody famous. And while they were all drawing, the teacher went by this one little girl, and she was sitting there, hunched over, not letting anybody see, but very, very intense. And the teacher said, "Well, who are you drawing?" And the girl said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." A picture of God. Now, the teacher didn't want to hurt her feelings, so she said very gently, "You know, sweetheart, nobody knows what God looks like." And without even looking up, the little girl said, "That's okay, they'll know as soon as I'm finished." All right? You know, that's kind of what we're like. It's kind of what we're like. The words of Dr. Holmes and all of the other writers that I have been reading since then and rereading in a different way have helped me to draw a picture of God in my own mind, not a physical picture, but a mental and a spiritual picture that I would actually be happy to put on my refrigerator if I could draw it, if I only knew how. Now, most people who are attracted to this teaching and stay with it love the sense of freedom that this idea of God brings to them, because we have all spent so many years being hammered with the world's view of a God who was not only male, but also old, unmarried, straight, and celibate. If you think about it, that's the kind of God we were told about. No sex, no drugs, no rock and roll. No wonder he was in such a bad mood all the time, you know? He never had any fun. Why should I think I should have any fun in my life, you know? Now, a sizable portion of the human race has always had a hard time identifying with a creator like that, particularly women, minorities, and people who felt separated from the prevailing idea of God. I know I felt separate from it. The truth is, those people who preach to us with the very best of intentions, which are always the ones you got to watch out for, the ones who preach that we were made in the image and likeness of God, most of the time seem to be talking about a God made in the image and likeness of them. But even if it didn't feel quite right to us, the problem was, even if we didn't like the image that we were being presented with, it's not that easy to just throw out a God that we have had in our hearts since we were a small child, because it gets embedded in us. It gets embedded in our psyche. It gets embedded in our spirit. It becomes a habit that's very, very hard to break. So that means if we want our concept of God to either mature or to evolve, which is the natural order of things, we need something both intelligent and spiritually appealing to replace it with. We need a better idea of God. Now, a lot of us, because we didn't realize there was an alternative, kept trying to pray to someone or something out there. And we kept waiting for answers to come to us from out there because that's what we were taught. But it didn't work. Or at best, it was hit or miss. Maybe we even tried to compromise a little bit. Maybe we tried to hold on to some of the human, physical characteristics of God that we have been taught while trying to superimpose upon it all of these other spiritual qualities that seemed to be more important to us on top of that image. But that didn't work very well either, and for good reason. You see, if we are ever going to grow into a greater understanding of our spiritual essence, or a greater understanding of our true spiritual nature, which is what most of us want to do, at some point it will become necessary for us to give up this idea of a superphysical God with all sorts of superhuman powers and all the limitations that that kind of an image carries with us. We're going to need to exchange that old idea for a more expansive or open idea that accepts the one creative power of the universe as a creative spiritual energy instead of as a being with a certain shape and size and personality and zip code or whatever it happens to be. We need to start thinking of this power as a non-physical, intangible intelligence that has no limits. Has no limits. Now here's something else. We also need to make this power meaningful to our human experience by recognizing that it is the perfect expression of unconditional love. The perfect expression of unconditional love. That's what the teacher Jesus was trying to tell us all the time in the beautiful words that he taught. That's why Dr. Holmes tells us that God is both love and law. It is complete support, but it also makes sense. It is both passion and intelligence. So the thoughts that move through our mind and the desires that we have and the excitement that we feel when we are living life in the best way that we can, these things are God expressing itself in the world in the only way it can, which is through us and as us. That's how love comes into the world, through us. Now, Dr. Holmes also pointed out that the most significant obstacle that prevents us from understanding the true nature of this power is our belief in something called duality. Duality. And duality simply means more than one. It means two things that are separate from one another. And in terms of the idea of God that we're talking about, the term duality does not or should not apply. You see, if this creative power is the only power that there is, and it's all the substance that there is, and it's all the intelligence that there is, and all of the truth that there is, then the entire universe must be one single unified thing, what he calls the thing itself. So if we try to believe in a God up there while we're down here, if we try to believe in God as a power of good over here, fighting the power of evil over there, then that would have to mean that there were several different powers, so none of them could be infinite, which doesn't make any sense. There can't be a part of God here and a part of God over there or any place where this power is not. It has to be an indivisible unity everywhere present all the time. Not only that, if there's only one master thinker, so to speak, if there's only one master creator, then it must be thinking and creating through every one of its creation. That's what we'll be talking about next week. Now, needless to say, that's a very different idea of God than most of us are raised with, but it's the only kind of God that makes sense, at least to me. Now, there are several reasons why this is important for us to understand, especially if we want our spiritual understanding to go to a new level. For one thing, it means that we never have to search for God and try to get its attention. We don't have to do that. We never have to try and change God's mind, and we never have to worry about being in a situation where all the power we need, all the power of life, is not available to us. because those situations don't exist. But most important of all, it means that every single one of us, every person, everywhere, is actually an individual expression of God interacting with other individual expressions of the same God shaping and experiencing this thing that we call life. In other words, this power is not only the creator, it's the process of creation and the thing it creates because it is all there is. Or as Dr. Holmes put it so well, the thing we are looking for is the thing we are looking with. The God in us is seeking itself everywhere it goes. Now the real kicker here, the thing that we need to be clear about, is that this kind of God does not decide what's going to happen in our life or in the world. This power has already given to us everything we need to do whatever we decide to do. It gives us unconditional support all the time. It has given us the total freedom to choose in our life, and it provides us with this incredibly abundant, unlimited universe of infinite possibility. It doesn't have any more to give than it has already given to us, and it will never, ever give us anything less. So the responsibility starts to come here. And the question becomes, if we've all got all of this freedom and all of this power at our disposal, then why are so many people suffering in the world? Why are there people who have so much while other people have so little? Why are there so many people trapped in poverty, crippled by illness, or living without any love in their life? We'll talk a lot more about that in week 3. But the only answer, I'll tell you this much, the only answer that some people can come up with is that God must want it that way for reasons we can only guess, and I can't buy that. Or maybe God likes some people better than others, and I can't buy that one either. That's too limited a situation, too limited a solution, and what we're talking about here is a power that has no limits. So there has to be a better answer, and of course, there is one that makes perfect sense. But there are a lot of people who don't like this new answer because the answer to the question, why is my life the way it is not determined by God. It is not determined by God. It's also not determined by our family background, our gender, our race, or our life circumstances. And it's not determined by what God wants or doesn't want for us either. The answer depends quite simply upon what we believe about God, what we believe about God, and what we believe about our nature as it relates to God. That's why Dr. Holmes writes in the first part of the introduction, the answer is not that God has responded to some people and not to others, but that some have responded to God more than others. That's what he writes. The truth is, this power can only do for us in our life what we allow it to do. It's ready to do whatever we want, but we have to allow it. And what we allow it to do is limited by what we believe it can do and by what we believe we deserve. In other words, if our idea of God is limited, like the image we believed in as children, then our life will also be limited because the life we live can never be any greater than the idea of God that we believe in. That's what we have to realize. You know, in some ways, it's like water, this power of water being stored behind a dam. If you punch a tiny hole in the dam, that's how much water is going to come through. But if we make the hole a little larger, all the water that we could ever want is ready to come through more and more and more. There's no limit to the amount of water that comes through except the size of the opening. In the same way, as we choose to open ourselves to this power that we call God, then we can get just as much love in our life, just as much health, just as much prosperity, and just as much success as we are open to, no more and no less. Because our mind is the mind of God functioning at the level of our acceptance of this thing that we call life. And if this power doesn't seem to be working for us or helping us, if it seems to be blocked or if it seems to be creating things that we don't want, it doesn't mean that it's not powerful or intelligent and that it's not willing to work for us in a better way. It just means that we haven't opened ourselves enough to create what we want to create. Or as Dr. Holmes says, our belief sets the limit of a principle that is itself without limit. Without limit. So this month, as we do these 4 talks, I want to invite every one of you here to make a commitment to yourself. I want you to reacquaint yourself with your understanding of what God means to you. When you hear that term or whatever term you want to use, what image comes into your mind and heart? And if you don't like the G word, the God word, some people don't, you can pick whatever word you want. You can call it Allah, Yahweh. One of our ministers used to call God the big sweetie. It was a great term. You can call it the beloved. That's what Rumi calls it, whatever. But just focus your attention on what this power is, on a power greater than you, but a power that you can use. Do whatever you need to do. Meditate every day, read creative thought, read whatever prayer book you like. Read the introduction that I'm going to be talking about this month. Make an effort to see this presence in everything in your life, in the people at work, in the work you do, in your own body, on the news, that's a hard one, in your beliefs about money, and in your closest relationships. Start to see, and this takes awareness and it takes practice, start to see if the way that you are living and thinking fits with this greater idea of God. And if it doesn't, then change your mind. Change your mind to a better idea. And then once you do this, you change your mind about God in whatever way is necessary to live your life every moment of every day as if you had all the love, all the knowledge, and all the power of the universe at your disposal. Once you do this, start acting as if it were true, because this is a really wonderful thing to know. Now, next week, we're going to take this greater idea of God, and we're going to start talking about how it works in the world. And I invite you to be here so we can share some ideas that may change the way you look at the world. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's just take a breath, relax for a moment here. Take the ideas that resonated with you, the ideas that might have shaken you up a little bit. Take them as your own. I give them to you freely, and set aside the others, recognizing that God, Spirit, life is all there is. We are here on this plane, in this experience, to express God and to increase our awareness and our abundance of good in everything we do. We are here to be the most God-like being that we can possibly be. That doesn't mean to be deeply spiritual or to run away to a mountain and hide. It means to be in the presence of the world, because all of the world is God expressing itself in amazing, fabulous variety of ways. And as we allow ourselves to be present in the world with all of the different people and all of the different experiences and all of the different combinations that make up the life that we see, as we allow ourselves to become more and more aware of the presence of a truly kind, loving, compassionate power in everything we see, and we begin to express that power, our part of the world changes, because we have created an opening through which this power can express itself. And as each one of us creates a greater and greater opening, we begin to join together like drops of rain on a windshield, and we begin to move. We begin to move forward, which is what life is meant to do, and we begin to live our life and to express life together, not with war and conflict and greed and selfishness, but with compassion, with caring, with love. And as we do this, we begin to realize that this world that we live in has everything we need for every single being on the planet to be fed, to be loved, to be nurtured, and to succeed. This is the truth for every being who is here, including us. So this is not about giving to others at the expense of ourselves. It is recognizing the Spirit in them and the Spirit in us as the one and only Spirit that exists. This is our truth. So I invite you to take a few moments now in the silence of your own heart and mind, and in these few moments of quiet, simply feel the presence of this power inside of you, ready to express itself in amazing, miraculous ways in everything you do. Simply feel this sense of the presence of God. Take these moments for yourself. with gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life. We accept this truth as our own. We accept the spirit of life that exists all around us. We embrace it. We allow it to flow through us in the best way possible in everything we do. We release any ideas of fear or not being enough, knowing that each one of us is more than we could ever imagine. Each one of us is a perfect expression of a power that has no limits, that is always with us and always supporting us. This is the God we know. And with this truth, we accept and release it into consciousness, allowing it to be the truth for ourselves and every other person now and always. And so it is.